Welcome to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. I'm Brandon Porter. Tim will be here in just a moment. Re-Up Men is using the model that Jesus used with his disciples, a model based on educating, encouraging, and empowering men to make disciples. Men living by his life is the solution. You can learn more about the ministry at reupmen.com. So, Tim, we have been on a long journey of having this problem that must be fixed, and the road always leads back to Jesus, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I had a conversation last night with a fire team that is actually at this juncture of the study that you and I are kind of walking through today, and they were just talking about realizing the significance of Jesus and the cross. They've kind of looked at the sacrificial system a little bit, and they're realizing how just crucial it is to get our heads around how this problem got fixed, which was the cross and mm-hmm. Jesus. And I've said all throughout my journey, once I understood about what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, that he who knew no sin became sin on my behalf mm-hmm. so that we might become the righteousness of God, that fixed our problem. Mm-hmm. My love and desire for Jesus is so much more because of understanding him fixing that problem and what it really took.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's spend some time talking about him, about his who he was as a person, both God and man. Those things figure in very importantly in solving our sin problem. And so let's just start right there. Jesus had a sinless nature that qualified him to be the sacrifice for sin. Talk a little bit about the importance of that, what it is.
Yeah.
Help us understand that.
Yeah, well, anytime I think you talk about Jesus' sinless nature qualifying him, we got to go back to okay, but every person that's ever been born in the flesh as a person had a sinful nature because of Adam. Well, Jesus didn't, because he was from the virgin birth, and his father was the Lord. And so he had that perfection, that sinless nature. But it's important, as you said a while ago, that to understand that he was both person in the flesh, but God also. Well, he had to come in the flesh to, I hate to use this term, but he had to come in the flesh to relate mm-hmm. to sin.
Yeah.
You know, we're guilty of going, well, you know, God, you don't understand what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does, because mm-hmm. Jesus came in the flesh.
Yeah.
For that part, that was part of the reason he came in the flesh, was to, you know, he's been tempted the same ways, in every way we've been tempted. But he had that sinless nature, that perfection,
mm-hmm.
Which allowed him to be, you know, back to the sacrificial system, they had to bring that unblemished animal, as perfect as they could get mm-hmm. in an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus was that. I mean, he was unblemished. Doesn't mean he wasn't tempted.
Yeah.
But he had to come in the flesh. And then, as I said a while ago, the verse in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, he had to become sin.
Yeah.
He didn't just put it on a backpack and die. He became sin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of things in Scripture that validate that to us, that he became sin and defeated it
mm-hmm.
So that we could reap the benefit from it, which is that we would become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
With that right standing with God because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I hear people use the phrase Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. I like to insert another word into that, which connects into what you just said, and say Jesus's life,
yes,
death, burial, and resurrection.
Yep. Yep.
Because the fact that he lived and faced temptation, and you know, all the aspects of sin around him, just how it's affected the culture, the society around him, how it affected other people, and then how it pulled on him toward temptation himself. That is critical. I mean, that's what makes him the Savior, is that he can sympathize, yeah, because he has been right there and overcome the temptation that we face.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul in his gospel in Romans, he kind of takes the, you know, we kind of think of the gospel being the life, the death, and the resurrection. Well, it's as you said, it's more than that. Mm-hmm. To the point that to me, you add another thing to that is now he's seated at the right hand of the Father,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
as a finished work.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a part of the gospel too.
Yeah, and so what's the significance of that, of the sitting down at the right hand?
Well, that means it's complete. Mm-hmm. There's no other work to be done. It is finished. I don't have to, after I receive Christ, my salvation, I don't have to go work for it,
mm-hmm,
to earn it. It's done. Mm-hmm. It is finished. You know, when you get done doing something, most of the time you sit down and rest,
mm-hmm,
because it's done.
Yeah.
You know, with me, when my boys were little, I put together toys at Christmas. There'd be some parts left over, unfortunately, but that's a different topic. But, you know, I sat down, it was finished. I could step back and look,
yeah,
at the work,
yeah,
that had been accomplished.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did. It's done. It's finished. It's a completed work, past, yeah, tense. And, you know, when the Bible says all and when the Bible says finished, they mean all and, mm-hmm, they mean finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think, and that's another part that Paul kind of talks about. He adds to the gospel,
mm-hmm,
is that Jesus, it's a finished work, and he's resting seated at the right hand of the Father.
Which really should build confidence in us in being able to live by his life, live,
yeah,
by Christ's life,
yeah,
in the fact that it is finished. It's not complete, and so, or it is complete, so that we can rest in him fully.
Yeah. Yeah. When we go back, you know, earlier in the study, I talked about, it says that God rested on the seventh day, and it says that we never see that it said that rest stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that picture of rest now. It's done. The work's complete. And, you know, time is nothing to God. So he looks at everything all at once. And so when he says something's finished, when he can look at everything as all at once, you can just rest in that.
Yeah.
That you're in your person, which was your problem that you got that you didn't ask for.
Mm-hmm.
That's been taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's a completed,
yeah,
action.
And so when you say completed, we also could use the word permanent,
yep,
solution.
Yep.
What is that permanent solution to our sin?
Well, that we're no longer a slave to it.
Okay.
We're not going to receive the wages of sin,
mm-hmm,
which is death.
Mm-hmm.
Now we will die physically, but what Paul's really talking about there is what we should get is a permanent death, eternally too,
mm-hmm,
and be separated from God forever.
Yeah,
but we're not.
Yeah,
so that's been defeated.
Mm.
That's one of our benefits that we get: complete, permanent, and we don't. We're 100,
mm-hmm,
on the meter.
Mm.
We're not going to be 99. We're not going to be 101.
Mm-hmm.
We're 100.
Yeah.
And the meter's kind of pegged. It's broke. It's not going to move again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I are sitting here using audio equipment, and you, mm-hmm, can see the meter moving up and down. Mm-hmm. No, with us, that bad boy's pegged,
mm-hmm,
and it's not going to move.
Yeah.
And it's complete.
And that really is the in Christ part.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily because something.
Oh, no.
Because of us. It's,
nope,
because of him.
And him, yeah. And, again, he who knew no sin became sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's separated from the Father. For a 3-hour time frame there, we see in that darkness, he refers to God while he's on the cross for the first time ever recorded in the gospel. Instead of calling him Father, he calls him God.
Mm-hmm.
My God, why have you... Well, that's that paternal relationship changed and became judicial,
mm,
for 3 hours,
mm,
and he became sin. and defeated it. Because then at the end of that 3 hours, it says, Father, into my hands I commit. So he's that paternal relationship is restored, and then he dies physically.
Yeah.
So that, again, it shows us that our problem was, our person got fixed on the cross by he who had never sinned and was perfect,
mm-hmm.
but became sin
mm-hmm.
on our behalf. And just, again, getting our heads around that, how we could not wake up every day and just fall flat on our face in awe of Jesus just blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that you talk about in the study is the fact that the enemies of Christ are made his footstool.
Mm.
Talk about, I mean, first of all, what in the world is that? And then second, talk about the importance of that.
Well, we know, first off, that all enemies of God are created.
Mm-hmm.
They're created beings. So right out of the gate, he's in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end, when this thing all wraps up someday, all those, you know, Satan, his angels that fell with him and all that, in my opinion, said in scriptural, I mean, right now he looks at them as kind of just being nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He could just flick his finger if he wanted to. But someday they will be that term footstool. I mean, they will just become an afterthought because he'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have to worry about
mm-hmm.
that anymore. But, you know, obviously, right, until he comes and returns again someday, we've still got to deal with that enemy
mm-hmm.
Who kind of comes at us, which is kind of the next part of the study and that we'll talk about here in future episodes, is then he starts to come at us and try to get us to doubt who we became
mm-hmm.
because of our problem getting fixed.
Yeah.
So that enemy's going to continue to always, but at some point in time, he'll be no more.
Okay. So, I mean, really, the imagery there is the enemy who was once loud and threatening and dangerous, and we were fearful because we didn't know how this was going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, now the battle has been won, and that enemy is lying flat on the ground.
Yep.
And Christ is sitting there with his heels kicked up
mm-hmm.
on the back of the head of this enemy.
Yep.
And the enemy doesn't get up off the ground unless Jesus lets that enemy
exactly
up
right.
off the ground.
Yeah.
And he's not going to let the enemy up off the ground. I mean, you know, and so he has authority over that enemy. You know, I think about, you know, I can think about times when I had a younger brother and when we would wrestle, if I could ever just
get
stop.
That's
right. Just, I'm tired of this. Just stop, you know, and I've got him pinned and he's on the ground and you're not getting up until you realize this is not happening anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the imagery that's
absolutely.
Right here.
Absolutely. And, and what a great, I think men can relate to what you're saying, that imagery. But if we've had brothers, we've done that.
That's
we've fought.
Right.
And I remember one Christmas, we got boxing gloves for Christmas, which I don't know what my parents were thinking. You know, and my first thing my brother did was he hit me as hard as he could in the face, and I was down.
Yeah.
He had me.
Yeah.
I was out. So, but yeah, that's kind of the imagery here. I mean, it's amazing to me how much credit we give the enemy
mm-hmm.
when he's really. Like I said, he's the footstool for the Lord. I mean, he's just, the Lord's got his, I love your imagery, he's got his feet propped up on him and, you know, chilling.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the enemy's still complaining and trying to disrupt things and all that, but it's only because the Lord's letting him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we get a little too worked up about him at times,
mm-hmm.
Scared, fearful, confused.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really not that big a deal when compared to the Lord.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So when we think about that sin and temptation, what does that, I mean, that's a hard concept for us to grasp, that God remembers our sins no more.
Yeah.
Because I can make you a list of things I did when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, in my 20s, in my 30s,
yep.
you know, I mean, And I, even though the person may have forgiven me for that, and I ask God to forgive me of that, I still wrestle. I mean, that's one of the things that, Satan is, he's an accuser. I mean, that's one of the names given him. Yeah. So he loves to bring that back to memory.
Yeah.
But I can also help him in that and bring that. And so talk a little bit about that concept that, God remembers our sins no more.
Well, Romans 8:1, I mean, therefore Paul writes, and again, we've got to remember who Paul was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what Paul has done.
Mm-hmm.
I ask guys all the time, so, and they share, you know, Tim, you don't know what all I've done. I said, well, let me ask you. I don't know, but have you ever drug Christians out of their home
mm-hmm.
and killed them, beat them, anything like, well, no, I've never. Well, there's a guy who I think was one of the most passionate followers of Jesus once he had an experience with Jesus who did all that.
Mm.
But the cool thing is Jesus, God doesn't have a record of that.
Yeah.
And just like you and me, Paul, his sins were forgiven and removed, basically, no memory of them at the cross.
Yeah.
And so that's why Paul writes in Romans 8:1, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. So sometimes in our minds, we like to condemn ourselves or, you know, the enemy tries to condemn us and use that. But God's standard is it's done. It's mm-hmm. taken care of. I don't even have a record of it. So why should we focus on it? Do we think we have a higher standard than God? I mean, his standard is, I don't even remember that, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, you said you did that. I don't remember it.
Mm.
So don't let the enemy use that against you.
Yeah.
Because unless you got a higher standard than I do,
mm-hmm.
my standard is it's gone. There's mm-hmm. no condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, actually, at the church I was involved in, I was preaching yesterday, and after the service, five men gave their lives to Christ. Mm-hmm. A couple of them were guys that were in a rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing was they just said, you know, I just don't feel like God would accept me
mm-hmm.
because of all the stuff I've done.
Sure.
And I shared, you know, we shared with them the guy in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation of those who cry. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, those things are gone. And he doesn't remember them. Now, the enemy's going to try to get you to remember them and get you to doubt who you are, and he'll constantly use that as a ploy. But in God's eyes, that's the standard. They are no more.
Mm.
They're gone. And so you can just see the life come into these guys yesterday when I shared that with them. And now it was hard for them to get their head around, but you could just see some life and some freedom come into them when we prayed that prayer, and tears running down their cheek, and they're like, wow, okay.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus, Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
You talk about Paul in Romans about no condemnation. Paul also wrote in Ephesians 2 about how it's by grace through faith that we're saved. But in that, he talks about how God has prepared good works for us to do.
Yeah.
Those good works are wrapped up in the work of Christ and what he has done for us.
Right.
And so talk about how Christ's sacrifice really impacts our ability to trust God to work out his plan in our lives.
Well, I think, again, back to what you're saying there with Paul, I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, yeah, it took away our sins and all that, but I think one of the things we miss there is that it also allows the plans that God has for us to really kind of, if you've ever gotten on a motorcycle and you get your foot on there and you know, you got to hit it a few times with your foot to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
I think those good works that he's planned for us, the cross allows that to be kickstarted,
mm-hmm.
for those works to start happening. And so we got to put ourselves in a situation where we accept what it was that fixed our problem, the cross and the resurrection. And I think that helps us, the barrier to be moved, if you want to use that, to start understanding and seeing and kickstarting the good works he's had. Now, he doesn't need us for anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's not us doing it, but the salvation allows him to come into us and live in us, and then we learn to live by that life that's in us that kickstarts him working through us, and his invisible attributes, his character, and all starts to be displayed through us as he does it.
Yeah.
And then whatever those good works look like, it's him doing it. Because that's what, when we stand before him someday and receive our rewards, that's what we're going to be rewarded for.
Yeah.
Are the works that he did through us, that we allowed him to do through us. And again, that's so cool when you talk to a guy like me who did so much in my past. I'm like, the Lord would use me for anything?
Mm.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God can use any man.
Yeah. Well, what are those good works? Just, you know, if there's a guy listening and he thinks he knows, but he's wondering, he's trying to get some confirmation. Talk about what's that look like in your household with your spouse or with your kids or in your workplace?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things we got to tie into this, and I don't really do it in the study, but one of the things I think we've got to tie into it is, you know, we immediately get the fruit of the Spirit.
Okay, that's good.
So one of those good works that comes out of me I used to be a guy that, I still struggle. I mean, patience is tough, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like to wait for nothing.
Sure.
You know, if I sit in line at McDonald's this morning and have to wait a certain period of time to get my biscuit,
right.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, but that's a work that starts to happen in my life,
mm-hmm.
because of the fruit. You know, the other thing about the fruit of the Spirit is, in my opinion, is we receive them and they're complete.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know how to live them out yet, but he's given them all to us 100%.
Yeah.
So I don't just get 50% patience.
Yeah.
And I got to grow it. No, I get 100% patience.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out how to let that work out and lived out in my life. So I think we got to consider the fruit of the Spirit in here when we talk about a good works.
So
and the cool thing is that plays out so much in my home.
Yeah.
In my marriage, with my boys, my grandkids, is those are the good works of learning to be patient.
Yeah.
Learning, you know, I used to struggle with anger when my boys were little.
Mm-hmm.
That good work, part of that good work is I can handle that a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't let anger overtake me. So I think it plays out in those ways.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to think about that, because guys can be guilty of almost keeping a scorecard. How many times did I tell my wife this? Or how many times did I not do that, you know, around my children? But really a helpful way is to think. So it's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is where the fruit of the Spirit are that you mentioned in there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So that's really quick. You can rewind this 5 or 6 seconds and listen to that again if you want to. But thinking about, do I see more goodness in my life? Do I see more joy in my life? Do I see more patience, peace, self-control, all of those things? And rather than just keeping a list of the things I said or didn't say or thought or didn't think or do or didn't do, just that, is there more of that in my life? And you're beginning to live by his life.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the, and that really, if you want to, what good works are,
mm-hmm.
That to me, that's what it really looks like. Now, by learning to be patient and have joy and all, now, does that mean it might not affect some other work or actions?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But I think those just start to play out in your life. And then we don't know what happens from there. So when people ask me that about the good works and all that, how that plays out in our life and with him, and I go straight to the fruit of the Spirit. I think that's because those are the core of really representing Jesus, if you want to say that, and being his hands and feet to other people, or be the visible expression of an invisible God. Mm. It's those. And but the cool thing is he's doing them in through me, as I learn to live by him, his life that's in me, and default to him. Because left to my own, I'm not going to be real patient. But he through me, I can be patient.
Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. Re-Up is here to help you live life in Christ. You can learn about Re-Up's biblical resources at reuppodcast.com. Everything you need to get a group of guys to do life together and pursue the joy that can only be found in Christ is waiting for you at reuppodcast.com. We hope you're encouraged and motivated as you listen to this podcast. Please subscribe through your favorite platform, and your positive feedback helps us reach even more men. Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown.